it's Martha and Mary, and it's verse 38 to 42 of Luke 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work she had to do, so she came and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled over so many things, but just one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken away from her." And then one verse about two people. It's in Acts 4, verse 13. And it's the way people were looked at by those who were not followers of Jesus. It's about two men particularly called Peter and John. And it's just an interesting description. It just says, the members of the council, so that was the Supreme Court of the Jews, the members of the council were amazed to see how bold Peter and John were. They'd just been arrested for talking about Jesus. And to learn, they were ordinary men of no education. They realized then they had been companions of Jesus. They had been with Jesus. They'd been companions of Jesus. And if we can follow through on the PowerPoint, if it comes up, Jeff, that would be great. You know that this year our theme is about handing on the eternal flame, passing on truly the Lord Jesus to others, just in that longing that they will come to know God through the Lord Jesus as well. And in the last few months, we've also been looking at that by means about thinking about prayer and spirituality. And today we're thinking about listening. I've turned it on, I think you'll find. About listening. And we've looked just at this short passage, this short incident in Luke, and then also written by Dr. Luke, just one verse in Acts. And we're going to think about the struggle that Martha had. And also, I believe it's our struggle, which is the struggle to choose to do the right thing. Not even the better thing, but the right thing, the good thing, and the struggle that we have in our relationship with God. And we know, most of us, probably this incident very well. Some of us may not know it. It may be a completely new incident to us, a factual incident that happened. We see that Martha welcomed Jesus and his disciples to her home. And this is where it's quite important to understand a little bit about culture. And whenever we read the New Testament, the talking about cultures is not a new thing, obviously, in the world. And when we read the Bible, we have to be aware of different cultural differences and so on, or we'll get the wrong understanding. But she welcomes Jesus and his disciples into her home, so at least 13 of them for supper, and probably quite a lot more. She's the eldest, it seems, from the responsibility that she takes. She has a brother who may well have been sick, who later dies. His name is Lazarus. And a younger sister, and this sister was very zealous. She was very zealous to be with Jesus. Her name is Mary. There's speculation that indeed Martha may run a separate household in Bethany, and even that she may be the wife of Simon the leper, because Jesus seems to have visited more than one household in Bethany. Younger sister Mary is the one who anoints the head of Jesus in the house of Simon the leper. But Martha was not a spiritual slouch. She wasn't the one who was practical while the other was spiritual. That's a false dichotomy. She was no spiritual slouch, because we read in John chapter 11 that as she talks with Jesus, she in fact recognizes that he is the Messiah, he is the Christ. So within a family, you get difference, don't you, between siblings. They are different, but yet they're a family. And they have a home in Bethany, or maybe two households. And Bethany is this village on the far side of the Mount of Olives. It's about 3 kilometres from Jerusalem. It's on the road to Jericho. And this is the home or homes of the three friends that Jesus loves. We're told that he has an amazing friendship with them. It's a place where he obviously feels free, not just to go and spend time, but to go and spend the night. Sometimes it says he just goes back from Jerusalem and spends a night in Bethany. He seems to have received much hospitality in Bethany. And we've thought a lot this year about the importance of hospitality, particularly in the spread of the Christian church. And it is still one of the major keys in spreading the faith about Jesus Christ. Listening. Listening is a significant part of hospitality. And having had the week I've just had on a spiritual direction course, I'm looking back and realising that I didn't give enough emphasis when I talked about hospitality, about listening. That's probably because I'm an activist, a worker, a doer, and that listening is not necessarily my strongest point, but something that I'm seeking to learn to do so that I might be of more use to God. Listening is a significant part of hospitality. You yourself know that according to Delia and all the others, you do all the preparation before the meal. Some hope. So that when the guests come, you can spend time with them. That's the theory, isn't it? It doesn't always quite work out like that. But it's a significant part of hospitality. And it is Mary who listens to Jesus rather than just providing food for him. So who is the most hospitable? Simon Jones, who's a friend of mine, a fellow Baptist pastor, in his commentary said that hospitality is not just about welcome, or you might even say not just about food. It's also about listening and responding to Jesus' message. So when these people offered hospitality and Jesus wanted to go back, it was not just because of the food or the comfortable bed or the warmth on a dark night. I believe it was because their people listened to him. The people want to spend time with you because you listen. Listening is a dying art, it seems to me. And the pictures might give you a bit of a clue. Listening to God, listening to others, and listening to ourselves. Martha is hosting a lot of people, and no doubt, as daughter number one, she's very stressed. And she asks Jesus really whether he's bothered that her sister Mary is neglecting helping out. I guess from experience, she dropped a few weighty hints to Mary, probably when she went to the loo. Oh, well, are you going to come and do anything then? Or she'd given her a few looks. But as she looks on and there's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, she still gets time to talk to Jesus. And Jesus speaks to Martha. And whenever Jesus is speaking, we need to stop and listen. And I guess that is one of the reasons we come to church. To hear the Lord Jesus. To sit at his feet. To give a little bit of space for that. We know that Mary was sitting listening, but Martha found she just could not stop. Perhaps she promised herself when all the work was done, she would stop. But Jesus was speaking now. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset over many things. Jesus knew exactly how she felt. perhaps she hadn't even stopped to think about it herself. But just one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken away from her. This wasn't one in the eye for Martha. This was Jesus saying something to Martha that she needed to hear. Loads of people feel sorry for Martha. My aunt always used to tell me how sorry she felt for Martha. I've often felt sorry for Martha. Who's felt sorry for Martha? Loads of you. They sympathise, feeling that she is actually the one that's doing the right thing by her guests. She's doing the right thing, the proper thing. She's sacrificial. She's doing what needs to be done. But you see, she was missing out. And we should feel sorrow for Martha, as Jesus did. She was missing out by the choices she made. Jesus knew her very well, just as Jesus knows you better than you know yourself, better than your spouse or your ex-spouse knows you, better than your best friend knows you. She was anxious over many, many things. Don't put your hand up if you're anxious about loads of things. Put your hand up if you're not anxious about anything. Oh, no hands up. Okay. You know, we remember the story about the rich young man that lacked one thing, don't we? That was sent to go and sell everything he had. But Martha is told that she lacked one thing. You haven't chosen the right thing. You need to stop and to listen to me. It seems very hard, but true, that she was not actually being the best host, though she longed for this. She probably would have loved to have given Jesus the best meal, to have washed his clothes and his feet, to wash his hair, to give the very best she could, to make the bed, to dust the bedroom. And yet what he wanted was to be listened to. Hospitality is not just about a good meal, but listening to Jesus. And if you read earlier in this gospel and in John's gospel, you see that often the villagers and other people, what was wrong was not just that they didn't offer food, but that they wouldn't listen to Jesus. And that was considered bad hospitality. Yes, they were commanded to give food and shelter, but the reason often he had to move away from them is because they just would not listen to him. Martha, because of various things, was missing out. Her anxiety, because she was working all the time, she missed out. Jesus goes on, for instance, to talk about prayer. And if you see how Luke has constructed this gospel, the incident before is about hospitality, the Good Samaritan, and the bridge is actually this teaching about Mary and Martha. The key Luke has used is hospitality. And Jesus goes on to talk about prayer. She would miss out if she didn't stop Martha, in fact, is not taking the freedom that was offered to her. And of course, it was an amazing freedom for anybody, but for a woman to be allowed to sit at the feet of Jesus is an amazing description. And she was still a slave. And many, many women cannot take the freedom that Jesus offers to them, sometimes because others stop it, but sometimes because women cannot stop doing all the things that we do. Not just supporting and serving men, but waiting on them. She was a slave to her role and to her task. Now, Jesus wants men and women to sit at his feet, men and women to change our way of behaving because we've sat at the feet of Jesus. But she was a slave partly by her own choice. She just couldn't stop behaving in certain ways. No problem in making meals for people, washing for them, cooking for them. Men and women can have great joy in doing those things, and sometimes it's very tiring. And we do different things, but she was locked into that role. Men get caught into the trap of no quality time, just the same as women with Jesus, no quality time. It's something that we're all guilty of at various times, and we miss out. Life is hectically busy with work, home, family, friends, and church goes into lots of those worlds. But you know, no one in the world has ever had anything more important to do, no work more important than Jesus. But although he was doing the most important work and job in the whole world, he took time to be with his Father, God. And he was doing the most important job with the greatest pressure and the greatest suffering of any job. But he set us this example. Teachers pass on their methods to their disciples. And if you flow into the next chapter, the first verse of chapter 11, Jesus talks about prayer because the disciples say, pass on your methods, your models, your ways of praying. We want to learn that. We've got things to learn. But you know, Jesus passed on more than a method of praying. He did more than show a model or a type of praying. Actually being with Jesus changed people. So in Acts 4 verse 13, we look to that verse where the council, the Sanhedrin, the supreme court of the nation, recognized that Peter and John had been companions of Jesus. They have been with Jesus, though they are uneducated and ordinary. Plebs, I suppose. They were ordinary. They said there's something different about them. And the explanation was they have been companions of Jesus. It explained their behavior and particularly their courage. Even though they had not been trained in any formal rabbinical school, they had not gone to the equivalent of the best universities of their day. They were ordinary. They also couldn't deny the miracle that a crippled, paralyzed man had been healed. They could only explain the fact that they were able to apply the Old Testament scriptures about the Messiah, who was the stone that was rejected, and the fact that they appeared to be full of the Holy Spirit by the fact they'd been companions of Jesus. People who have been with Jesus, who have sat at his feet, become different. Many of us will have experienced, we say, why am I suddenly doing this? Why am I changing? Could it be that as we begin to spend time with Jesus, as we may not even consciously hear, but as he's drawn us to sit at his feet and learn, we begin to change? I believe that they had an authority, a moral authority, spiritual authority about them, like Jesus, even though he'd never been to any recognized rabbinical school. They were different. And Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. He encouraged this, and he wanted Martha to be there as well. That would have been the right choice, put simply. But he still sympathized. Some people say he gently reprimanded her. He was really saying, "You are so anxious about many things." She could have had financial worries. She may have had worries about her brother's health. She may have had worries that her sister was becoming too zealous over Jesus. Who knows? But he said, "You are worried about so many things." I sometimes think in today's world, caring people, we have so much worrying anxiety that it will crush us unless we can take those anxieties to Jesus, unless we discover how that happens. And it takes a lifetime. For those of you in your second half of life, be relieved. If you walk with Jesus, you're just about to reap the benefits of contentment and being rather than doing. All that was sown in the first half of life can bear fruit. But whatever our age, whether we're in the first half of life or the second half of life, the Lord wants us to be with him and to listen. She could only discover that Jesus wanted her to speak to him if she could stop long enough in his presence. And that is true for you men and true for us women. Let me show you a slide you've seen before, just to make you think again. Spirituality is to do with the coming together of all our practical living as Christians, the prayer that we're involved in listening to God and talking with God, and the doing of theology, getting to know God. This is Christian spirituality, this greater intimacy with God. And you see this beginning to happen as Martha, hopefully, is starting to process what Jesus is saying. You are doing, 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 Martha. And probably you are sometimes thinking with me and doing theology with me and the others and occasionally slipping in prayers in a rush. But you're out of balance. You're out of balance. And therefore, you're not stable. I want to speak to you. Come to me. Know the Father and the one who sent me. This is eternal life. You'll be relieved to know it's not just washing up, cooking. It's not just going to work. It's not just looking at outcomes and outputs. It's to do with listening. So, to end, before we respond to Jesus speaking to us. Because what would he say to us if he got our attention long enough? Think of him saying your name. So he would say, "Jane, Jane, you're anxious over so many things. Choose the right thing. Choose to spend time. I'm not going to take away from someone who has the good sense to sit and listen to me that." Let's be honest, the washing up will still be there at 11 at night and it will have to be done. But at this point, come on, men, women, come. Leave the work and come. The work will still be there, but I'll tell you, you'll do it better next week if you've listened to me. Often we are not hospitable to Jesus We say, welcome, you're already here, Lord, but you're welcome, but we are not listening. We are not listening. We may work very hard to welcome and serve, not just Jesus, but other people, because we know as we welcome and serve them, we're serving Jesus. But there's a right choice to stop and listen, close enough to Jesus to be touched when I feel the touch of his hand upon my life. And when I can touch him, where in our busy lives can we find time to do this? Stop doing work things, washing, cooking, cleaning, writing reports, doing lesson plans, preparing. Where? You know, some of us cannot even find a few hours each Sunday. That's a sign of our busy lives. We cannot even keep that regular pattern of each Sunday to do this. I'm on this course. Some of you have been praying for me. And it's fascinating because our meals are prepared for us, which is lovely. So you don't have to do that. And you keep thinking, gosh, I'm eating all the time. Because you know how you have a cup of coffee and you grab something, you go to work and you realise at 3 o'clock you've not had your lunch, so you grab a sandwich, you know, and then you feel really hungry again at 8 at night and it's bad time and whatever. But your meals are being prepared for you. They have to be. I mean, we're doing so much listening to God. It's killing you in between. But you're listening. But the wonderful thing was they said, don't wash up the coffee cups. I thought, oh, wow. They said, we've got a gopher. One of the core teams will wash up the coffee cups. You know, because all these Christians are going out and washing up the coffee cups, apart from those, you know, hiding, looking at the bookstall, you know. And they said, don't. Because often washing up on a course like this is a way of avoiding listening to other people, listening to God, or listening to yourself. Now, to me, it seems a luxury, an indulgence, not to, you know, go out there. But they're right. Often we are doing those things, some of those things, to avoid hearing the Lord and to avoid talking to or listening to, more important, other people, or to listening to ourselves. I do put a caveat in here. You know, I do believe in hard work. But there is something that actually is more important in life, which is listening to Jesus. Busy people are often avoiding listening to God, ourselves, and other people. Mind you, lazy people can also be avoiding listening to God, themselves, and other people. But it can be true of busy people. The things we do to avoid listening to God, Jesus, and ourselves. You say, no, I would love it. I'd love to do what you're doing, Jane. 2 days away, just learning to listen to God, other people, and yourself. Ask me about the week. This is a blob of clay that has been stretched and pounded and set to rest and stretched and pounded. Okay? The things we do to avoid listening, sometimes God has to even let us suffer so that we listen. Can we make the choices to do what is right so we don't miss out? Do you think Martha did anything differently after that? I mean, maybe she did have to say to Mary, you and I are going to have a discussion, sis. But at the same time, she had to learn, didn't she? Little sis had learnt something. Okay. Coming and being at church gives us a chance to listen to others, to listen to Jesus, to listen to one another. Some services allow more room for that. Some prayer times allow more room for that. Everything doesn't happen in one service. But I want to suggest to you that something like the church weekend also gives people a chance to listen to others and get to know them that you can't do here when you're doing cooking, cleaning, working. Listen to others to listen to God and to listen to yourself. Maybe going on a walk through the beautiful grounds. You don't have to cook, clean, wash the linen, or anything. So it's a bit of a thought, isn't it? Could I set aside the time to do that? Now, some people don't have the health to be able to do that. Some people don't have the money. Well, I've suggested a way through on that, that maybe other people could help you to be there, if that's what you'd like to do, as well as the fun time, because God speaks through sports and games and laughter and films, but also you need silence and stillness, and so do I. So will we learn, and in our struggle with worry and anxiety, actually sit at the feet of Jesus? Maybe starting each day, perhaps 10 minutes is a real long time for us to shut the door to find time. I don't know. But we're going to be looking at that in practical ways. We had Sister Judith talking to us recently. Some of you are now regularly talking with somebody else in stillness. We're going to have Brian Mills talking about prayer in November. And we're going to hopefully encourage one another to learn to listen, so that when we act, we will be acting in the way and doing the things that the Lord wants, not just what drives us. There's much to think about, isn't there? Encourage you, you could listen to this talk again on the web. You can think about this or discuss this with somebody. As Neil said, we'll willingly pray with you, and we have a prayer time today where you could pray in the company of others as well.